We are trying to resume some things here. I want to put out there, as we're trying to do that, this doesn't mean you don't have to wear a mask. Doesn't mean you don't have to social distance. People are still getting sick. Some cases, people are still dying. So we want to do our part. So as we resume some things, please honor some of the stipulations we're putting out there. Or frankly, we will shut you down. So you know, don't think you're getting away with something. You know, this isn't to be, you know, hard-nosed about anything, but you know, it's still a real thing. I know there's tons of opinions, and leave them outside the door. I have my own. So anyway, but I want to start, let's sing a song. I wrote it down. I don't even know if everybody knows it, but simply this little chorus says, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Oh Lord, nothing I desire compares with you. Nothing I desire compares with you. In a year when our word is set apart, I want to just put that out there. Is there anything else you desire more than Jesus? Is there anything else that takes precedent over Jesus? Nothing I desire, Lord, compares with you. It's amazing during worship, there was a moment, Easy and I were having a moment. I was holding my grandson, but it's awesome when Holy Spirit is working in our children. Easy's what, not even two yet? He is two. And, you know, he has his hands up. And at one point, I don't know if he was just doing this or I was doing this, but I was just going like this, and I looked over, and he's going, and he's looking at me, and he's smiling. Don't underestimate what your worship is doing for somebody else who's watching. He's raising up people who are going to follow us, however long we're here. Set apart. Last week I introduced this word and I told you how it came about, so I'm not going to go about repeating that today. It is online. If you weren't here, you want to hear it, it's online. It's actually being aired right now for those at home. But the foundation for this word is this passage from 2 Timothy, and I told you last week we're going to break this passage down. I don't know how far we'll get this morning. We'll see if I get through all four legs of this one verse. It's one verse. 2 Timothy, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And we start by recognizing that this body we live in is referred to in Scripture as a house. It's a house. We sing a song, "Make me a house of prayer. Come live in this house." And again, last year's word, "Come home," we had a little booklet they're still out there if you didn't get one. My heart, Christ's home. He lives here. We want him to live in every compartment of this house. Useful to the master of the house. But starts, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. We've heard this passage from Hebrews referenced almost repeatedly over the last couple of years. I think the Lord was preparing us. I think the Lord was leading us, kind of showing us things that are coming down the pike. Of course, this scripture has been there all along. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, cleansing ourselves from what's dishonorable." If there's something that's polluting our minds or polluting our hearts or polluting our eyes or whatever that may be, throw it off, throw it off, throw it off. "Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, let us run with perseverance the race," "the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Ask yourself today, what do I need to throw off? What do I need to throw off? Is there something that needs to be cleansed? Something that's dishonorable? It's interesting, Men of Valor has met twice this year, and when Scott gathered us together the first week, this was before our word was unveiled, he started class that night and said, "Okay, we're starting a new year. What needs to be done that will help us as Men of Valor to stand apart?" Did not know our word was set apart. But he starts the class. He says, "What do we need? What needs to take place that will cause us to stand apart?" And then he went and asked each of us, is there something as we begin this year that you don't want to drag into the year? Something that is an obstacle, is a stronghold. And so, 11 or 12 of us, however many were there that first week, we shared something. And it wasn't just to share, it was, we then prayed for one another over whatever that thing was. And then this week, when we met, we talked a little bit about this word, set apart. What's that mean? What's he requiring of us? One man said that there was a show he's been watching with his wife, but there was something in the show that he said was a problem for him. And he said, "I realized that's not me and I don't need that. I don't need that." And even though he and his wife liked the show, he said, "I had to tell my wife I can't watch it anymore." So right off the bat from the start, Holy Spirit is speaking and he's saying, "You don't need that anymore." We had another man say, "Lord gives me pop quizzes throughout the day. Pop quizzes throughout the day." And he was at work one day this week, and Lord gave him a pop quiz. And he said he failed the quiz because he had said something that came out of his mouth. And in and of itself, it wasn't something terrible, but he knew it wasn't the right tone. And he said the Lord gave him a pop quiz. And he went off by himself during his lunch break, and he talked to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, spoke to him and said, "Tell me what's bothering you. Tell me what's bothering you." He wants us to talk to him about the things that are bothering us. Talk to him about it. He knows all, anyway, but he wants us to express them to him. Pop quizzes reminded me of Job when he asked the question, "Why do you care so much about us that you test us every moment?" And I'm convinced that in 2021, that the Lord is giving us pop quizzes throughout our day. Checking our attitudes, checking our mindset, checking our "nothing I desire compares with you, Jesus" mindset. Somebody else came to class and said, "I came here with a mindset of what I'm going to do if this happens." It was an earthly thing. But sitting here listening, I realize the answers aren't on this earth. Our battles are not going to be fought in the flesh. They're going to be fought in the spirit. I heard this week, this was just me and my own, I don't even know if it was when I was praying or just throughout the day, but I heard this: shut down the noise, many voices, but only one is needed. Shut down the noise, many voices, but only one is needed. There are many people listening to all kinds of things out there. Only one voice. Only one voice we need to hear, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we'll only hear clearly as we set ourselves apart, cleansing ourselves from what is dishonorable. If we allow infection and disease and confusion into the equation, we won't hear. We will not hear clearly. It'll be muddled. We'll second guess. In just two weeks, Men of Valor, I've noticed already that the prayers for one another and the ministry has already gone into some deeper place. And I believe that's purposeful. I don't know what all Holy Spirit has in mind for it, but I know as we're being set apart, it's not by accident. It's not coincidence. It's purposeful. What do I need to throw off? So as I was looking at this, I thought, okay, well, what's some specifics? What's dishonorable about my thoughts? What's dishonorable about your thoughts? What do you spend your time thinking about? Every once in a while, I have to ask my wife, "Why are we still talking about this?" And it's usually COVID. And again, it's not in a mean way. I understand it's real, but I don't want to talk about it. Second Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, to make it obedient to Christ." I remember as a new believer in Jesus, a college student, I didn't know anything yet about Jesus, but I was learning, and I remember I came across this verse. I was like, whoa, really? That's possible? Well, it wouldn't be there if it weren't. Take captive every thought. And I remember learning early that if there was this dart piercing my mind or piercing my heart, no. No. No, that's who I used to be. It's not who I am any longer. Take captive every thought. What are you doing with your thoughts? What's dishonorable about your thoughts? Throw them off. Cleansing yourself from what's dishonorable. Well, we're not cleansing ourselves. He's doing the work. He'll do it. If we think we can do this in the flesh, self-help has some value, but it only can accomplish so much. Let Jesus do it. Let Jesus do it. Pastor Pauline used to say it all the time. We'll catch the fish, let Jesus clean them. What's dishonorable about my words? What's dishonorable about your words? James 3 pretty much puts it out there. Love the book of James. I always encourage, especially if you're a new believer, read the book of James every day for a month. It'll hurt. It'll hurt. Because he doesn't mince words. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Cleansing ourselves from what is dishonorable. What comes out of our mouths? What comes out of our mouths? We need to pay attention. This Lord meant it when he said he's setting us apart. Our words matter. Our words matter. We were told this morning to speak loudly, to share. And I believe that's absolutely part of the equation with a set-apart word, that the body of Christ is going to be a voice in 2021. It's going to be a voice. Not to call attention to ourselves and how wonderful we are, but to call attention to how good our God is. But our words and our actions have to line up. Now, that's not to say that we do everything perfectly and everything about our life is absolutely perfect. We are sometimes a mess. But when we're a mess, we ask him to help us. We don't deny that we're a mess. We don't deny that we got issues. We don't deny that we got things we got to work on. What's dishonorable about my thoughts? What's dishonorable about my words? What's dishonorable about my actions? Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, that means that whatever happens. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The example I gave from Men of Valor with the guy at work, he felt checked in his spirit when a word came out of his mouth. And I don't know that it was a terrible word. He didn't express even the detail, which was not important. It was that the way he said something came out in a tone that he did not intend it to be, and it actually surprised him a little bit too. He's like, oh, there's something still there that I need to work on. And it wasn't like he was beating himself up or being overly sensitive. It was like the Holy Spirit was showing him. And when Holy Spirit shows us, we need to respond. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. What is dishonorable about my relationships? Now, don't misunderstand this at all. We are called as believers to hang out with sinners at times. Not everybody. Maybe you're a brand new Christian and hang out with a sinner will be a temptation to you. Don't do it. But so our call is not necessarily to always hang out only with our safe Christian crowd. We're to be lights to the world. But scriptures tell us this. This is from 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be misled. Bad company corrects good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Like the prodigal came back to his senses. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. Is there something dishonorable about a relationship I'm in? And again, whether it's a romantic relationship, or whether it's just a friend who's no good for you, somebody that drags you down, somebody that messes with your thoughts. Cleanse ourselves from what is dishonorable is part of the instruction. It's part of the instructions. First part of this verse, first part of this assignment, if you will, because this isn't an assignment. These are assignments for us. This isn't just a nice scripture for us to look at for 2021 and then go home and say, well, that was nice. No, he's changing us. He means it. He's setting us apart. Why? Because he wants us to be a vessel of honor, set apart as holy. That's the second part of this. He will be a vessel of honor, set apart as holy. It was cool. There was a person at Men of Valor this week that had never been there before. And he shared this verse. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, man, that's part of our lesson. That's part of this teaching. Because the first part of it speaks actions that will demonstrate that we're vessels of honor. See to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Somebody does you wrong, you don't have to get them back. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Oh, I'm feeling low today. Rejoice. I'm feeling stressed today. Rejoice. I'm feeling angry today. Rejoice. Always, the scripture says. Not because something made you angry. Not because something made you sad. Not because... Rejoice because we have a Savior who knows your name, who went to the cross for you, who called you into relationship with you, even when we were unworthy. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray, 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 pray. Pray throughout your day, not just in your prayer closet. Pray throughout your day. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So there's instruction here on how to be a vessel of honor, and it's just a few verses there. There's lots more in Scripture, but and as we do these things, then this latter part, and this is how the person in class who shared it said, there's all these benefits that come from functioning as a vessel of honor. So many benefits, and here he gives them. Now may the God of peace himself, the God of peace himself, sanctify you completely, sanctify you, separate you, separate you, separate you completely. That doesn't necessarily mean physical separation from the world. That's where we're supposed to shine light. It's the separateness in how you live that separates you. You look different. You don't act like everybody else does. May the God of peace himself sanctify you, and may your whole spirit and soul and body, that's the components of our makeup, that's what we're made up of, our soul, our spirit, our body, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. It's funny, as I was thinking about this idea of being set apart, I don't know. I kind of felt like I learned early as a believer, college student. I didn't really know what being set apart was about. I didn't know enough scripture yet. But I had some sense fairly early. That I wasn't necessarily going to look like everybody else in the way I live and the way I function. I remember my first summer coming home from college after I had embraced Jesus. And I remember I was that summer I was back at my parents' house, and I remember spending time when I wasn't working, sitting in the backyard reading my Bible. And I remember thinking, this is probably different. This probably is unusual. I don't even know why I would thought that, but I did. But I remember feeling, even as I sat there and read, that as a young believer, that whatever I was doing was purposeful, that transformation was taking place, even though I really didn't know too much about how that really worked. But I remember experiencing that somewhat, sitting in my backyard reading the Bible. And then as I graduated from college and got my first job, reporter for the Salem News, and then my second job, reporter for the Morning Journal, at the time, I remember subscribing to a magazine. It was called New Wine. Some of the older folks in the room are familiar with it. It's a great magazine. But each edition of New Wine would have a theme. And this particular summer was a time when the theme was, if you are in the media and you're a Christian, the Lord wants to use you. And it was during this time, and I was like, what's that mean for me? I'm a new reporter. I'm new in this venue, but I'm also a new believer in Jesus. And there came a point when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to write a column about your faith. Some of you will remember it was called Out on a Limb. For 4.5 years, I wrote a column called Out on a Limb, and I still remember talking to Connie about it. We were heading to the beach for vacation, and I said, I got to tell you something. I think the Lord wants me to write a column about our faith. And she's like, there's no way they're going to let you do that. There's no way. Why do you want to do that? So I had gone to my boss and I asked him, I kind of told him, I said, hey, would it be okay if I wrote a column every week? It's going to be about my faith in Jesus. And he was like, sure. As long as you keep up with your regular assignments, this is not part of your job, but as long as you keep up with your regular duties, go ahead. And I was like, that was too easy. I got to pray about this a little bit more. But I knew somehow, even as a new reporter who's trying to build a reputation as a solid reporter, and here I am saying, I'm going to speak about Jesus. What's that going to look like to my readership and my peers and my, you know, all that? But that wasn't a consideration. It wasn't part of the assignment. Worrying about what somebody was going to think or say. So for 4.5 years, I wrote a column. Writing that column, and some of you know this, but it was writing that column in the paper is what led us to Abundant Life Fellowship. Pastor Don read the column. And I got a call from him one day, didn't know who he was, didn't know anything about New Waterford, didn't know anything about Abundant Life, and he said, I read your column. Will you come and speak at a Christmas banquet? It was back on Taylor Avenue, this tiny little church. And Connie and I came and we sang and I spoke. And he's setting people apart. He's setting you apart. I didn't know back then it was all leading to this. Of course not. He worked in my life where I was. He's going to work in your life. He's going to set you apart where you are if you'll let him. If you'll let him. The way you do your job matters. The way you treat your coworkers matters. When I went on the left, the Morning Journal, went to the Vindicator, worked at the Vindicator almost 20 years. And when I was leaving the Vindicator to become senior pastor here, one of my coworkers had people write in a journal. They wrote in a little journal to give to me as a kind of a going away thing. And somebody wrote this, and it still affects me, because you never know what your living life set apart is doing. But they wrote, "You've been a pastor to us all these years without ever knowing it." And most of you know I never wanted to be a pastor. Set apart. Set apart. I was going over my notes this morning, and I was remembering many, many years ago, Pastor Mark and I used to hang out all the time when he was younger, when I was younger, and before he drove, we used to bring him to church. I remember we had gone somewhere, there were several, we had gone to a concert or something that was about worship and prayer, and I remember he was in the back seat, and I remember we were on our way home, and I remember saying to Pastor Mark, "Man, you're a young man who spent a Saturday night or Friday night, whatever night of the week it was a weekend, wanting to worship Jesus, wanting to be close to Jesus. There's so many other things you could be doing." And his answer was, "What else is there? What else is there?" This is a teenager who was set apart from a very young age. There are tangible aspects of being set apart, but it is not, again, I said this last week, being set apart does not mean we're calling attention to ourselves or to our gifts or to, "Hey, look at me," type thing. It's all, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. This is another part of this set apart. And I'm probably going to stop after I finish this. And this is one of my favorite passages. Actually, this lesson has so many of my favorite verses. This is one of my favorite verses. And this is looking at the set apart ideas from a different point of view. It's not just that we're personally being asked to set apart, but there's a corporateness to it. And this is Jesus before he's leaving the earth, and he's talking to God, he's praying for two groups of people. He's praying for his disciples, those that have been called to serve him. He's praying for them, but then he's also praying for the world, those who don't know him yet. And here's what he says in his prayer. It is familiar to many of us. "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because you are not of this world." Being called apart, being set apart, means that we're not of this world, and some people might hate us. When I wrote my column for the Morning Journal, I got fan mail and I got hate mail. The editors of the paper got hate mail. "Why are you letting this guy write about religion on the editorial page? At least put it on the religion page." People will hate you. They're not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world. I know a lot of times we're like, get me out of here, Jesus. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but it's probably not his plan. Like, now I'm going to use you right here in this fire. I'm going to use you right here in this trial. I'm going to use you right here in this refiner's fire. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Protect them. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Separate them. Separate them in your truth. If we're a follower of Jesus, we're going to believe things that other people think are crazy. The word is not going to change because the culture wants it to. Sanctifying your truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So he's praying for believers, his disciples. He's praying for us. Separate them, protect them, keep them in truth, keep them in the word, keep them in the word, keep them in the word. But then he says this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their message. So what is our message as we function together, as we do life together, as we love on one another and care for the lost and care for hurting people and minister to hurts and failures and sinful behavior and all the things that we're called as believers to do? As we do it his way, as we do it his way, we are sending a message to those who are watching. We taught a class on this. Pastor Don and Pauline were friends with this couple, and their son wrote a book. It was called With One Heart. It's called With One Heart, and I got to teach this class numerous times. And the whole idea is based on these verses, that what are we as we function together, as we throw off things that get in our way, as we endeavor to work together? You know, the whole world's now crying for unity all of a sudden. Only the church can model unity. Only the church, because it's based on Jesus. It's based on him and his principles. And as we do that, as we love and care for one another, and we don't get in the middle of petty things among one another, we're all built differently. We're all going to function somewhat differently. But it's amazing what God can do when we set our hearts on him. And that's actually our assignment. I'm praying for those who will believe in me through the message that these people are giving. Not just with our words, but with our actions, how we function. Don't tear down your brothers and sisters. You can disagree. You can disagree with me all you want. I don't care. I'll love you anyway. Those who will believe in me through their message, that they all may be one. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I are in you, that they all may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's a whole audience out there and I don't know how this happens. I don't know the means by which Holy Spirit brings revelation to this, to people out there that are looking inward. But he says, I want them to see who I am. I want them to see who I am. I want their message to point them to me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I mean, he's talking to the Father and saying, I want them, including those that don't know me yet, to be one just like you and I are one, God. That's an amazing perfection. That's an amazing oneness, the oneness between Jesus and God. And he's saying, that's what I want, not only for all of them, my disciples, but I want it for them and those that don't even know me yet. That's an amazing thought. It seems like an almost impossible thought. But only through him, only through him, only as we reckon ourselves separate. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. I want them to know that I love them. They're lost and they're confused, but so are we. So was I. So were you. But he cleared it up. He's still clearing it up. I don't have all the answers, but he does. So I keep tapping into him. That the world may know that you have sent me. What did I write down? I wrote something down here this morning. I didn't write it clearly enough, I guess. He's making us one. He's making us one for a reason. He's not just, doesn't just give us these things as theories or as stories. No, these are life-changing words. Life-changing words. And in 2021, he's saying, I want you to be separate. Next week, we're going to look at the last two parts of this. We're already coming up on noon. So we're going to talk next week about useful to the master of the house. And we're going to talk about being ready for every good work. And we're also going to look at some examples. You know, we read the verse from Hebrews. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Everybody know what that chapter's about? It's about men of faith, people of faith. It's about people of faith. And chapter 12 then starts, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. So we have all these examples that are given to us in Hebrews 11 about people who were set apart. People who were set apart. And guess what? They're just normal everyday people in normal everyday jobs with normal everyday struggles and difficulties. What's that mean for us? It means the assignment is for us. The assignment is for us too. Shut down the noise. Shut down the noise. Two streams of audiences with this. If you know you've been set apart, embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. There's times when people who are set apart think, oh, what's that going to look like? What's that going to look like? I don't want to be set apart. I want to just mix in with the crowd. Don't mix in with the crowd. Don't mix in with the crowd. Be who you are without sin. Be who you are without sin. See, the world will say, be who you are. Doesn't matter if it's sinful or not. The Bible says, be who you are, but without sin. So there's that audience. If you know you're being set apart, embrace it. If you haven't yet reckoned yourself to being set apart, ask yourself why. What's holding you back? Maybe your answer is, well, I'm not that special. I never thought I was that special. Honestly, growing up, I always thought I was pretty average. B's were okay for me. Probably could have got a full ride scholarship if I'd have worked a little bit harder, but B's were okay for me. But in Christ, I knew I was set apart. Somehow that came early. It came early. Before Christ, fitting into the background was perfectly fine. I even told y'all when I first started this that if I could be pastor from the back of the room, if I could fulfill the assignment of being a senior pastor and do it behind the scenes only, not have to be up in front of a group of people, that would be my choice. Because I'd rather be a back of the room person. Have you embraced that you're set apart? That you're set apart? I want you to meditate on this. Meditate on this in personal ways. Take notes. Write things down. What's this mean for me? What are you requiring of me? Let's stand. I think we're going to sing a song, and I think it's called Abba, I Belong to You. And boy, what a great song for us to close out worship with, recognizing that we belong to Him. We belong to Him, that reckon ourselves as belonging to Him, and then let Him use us in whatever ways He wants us. You know, we have a guy in Men of Valor, who first time he ever came said, I don't like to talk, I don't like to pray, I don't like to read. I'd rather be by myself. But he came that first week. Pretty soon, he was coming every week with a scripture to share with us. At one point I told him, you're going to be doing prayer and scripture one day. We used to have people up here doing prayer and scripture. We kind of suspended it during COVID. But he took a step well over a year ago, maybe even going on two, I don't remember exactly when all this took place. It was right after the youth went to the ramp. But every week he comes, almost, I don't think he's only missed maybe a couple times of class, but he always has something. He always has something, and it's relevant and it's important. And it's an example of letting Holy Spirit set you apart into something that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself. Maybe there's someone else in this room who knows the Lord's saying, you need to step into this. And it won't be based on your ability, and it won't be based on your confidence in your skill. It'll be based on listening to me and being obedient. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the multiple ways that you speak to us and the multiple ways that you use your people. And I pray that as we're just beginning to drink in this word and to meditate on it and study it and pray and seek your face about what this means for us as a church, as individuals, what the specifics are. I pray, Holy Spirit, for eyes to see, ears to hear. And I know that this word, again, is not something for us to just sit alone in our prayer closets all day, although there may be times when that is the case, but it's again to shine light for us to be a voice in this culture, in this community, in this, wherever it is that we have a voice, to speak it, to not shy away, to not to not hold our tongue when it comes to telling people about you and about your amazing love and your amazing grace and your amazing provision. So I pray you'll use us. I pray that you'll stretch us, that you'll take us places, but then that as a body we'll also speak a message to the world that points them to you. The way we love one another and care for one another, that we're not tearing one another down, but we're building one another up, that we're saying we love our brothers and sisters, and we're all different, but you're building us into something that is sending a message to those who are watching that will prompt them to believe that you love them. So I pray your blessing on this people. Pray your blessing on this people. Maybe we're not singing that song, I guess. And that's fine. Father, I pray blessing on this people. We sang earlier about your favor, your favor. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you as you go out of here today. Pray your hand, Lord, will be on each one, on the assignment that you may even have for some of them this very day. The person that they're going to speak to, the person who's in their path, who needs their assistance. And I pray for those divine appointments all through this week. We're already seeing your hand at work in powerful ways. So I pray your blessing on each one. Yes, even our children, even the little ones, the little ones. That you're making deposits in them already for the furtherance of your kingdom. If anybody needs prayer, there's people here who will pray with you. Feel free to come on down. If not, we speak your blessing and say, go in Jesus' name. Amen.